Welcome to the Mindset Forge podcast, where I interview actors and performing artists on how they show up for the big moments of their lives. Everybody has big moments in life, and we all have to figure out how we can show up at our best so that we can get the outcome that we're looking for. What I love about athletes and performing artists is they really have a unique perspective on those big moments, whether it's singing on stage with thousands of people out in the audience or a Game 7 NBA Finals performance. And I'm your host, Barton Bryan. I'm an athlete, I'm a former actor and singer, and I love helping people really understand and take that final step to being better at the big moments of their life. In this episode, I'm going to be speaking with Scotty Gillenwater. He's an obstacle course racer. He is all over the country doing these obstacle course races. A lot of times a race will have 20, 30 plus obstacles that you've got to get over, get through, climb under. He's going to go into all that. We're going to have a deep dive on obstacle course racing, the whole genre of it, how he prepares, what he's thinking during races, all over the place, and really why he got into it and some of those challenges he had in his life and how he overcame them and how he uses fitness, obstacle course racing, and all of that to really align himself with his life's goals and being positive. So I'm really excited to introduce you to Scotty, amazing guy. He's here with me today. So without further ado, Scotty Gillenwater. All right, Scotty, talk to us about OCR, the medium of obstacle course racing, and where you kind of play a role in that and what you do.
I guess what OCR is, in a sense, like you said, it's obstacle course racing. When anytime anybody ever asks me that has no idea what it is, the easiest way I can explain it to them is it's like American Ninja Warrior, but over, you know, miles and miles of running as well. But sometimes the obstacles just aren't as cool as what you see on American Ninja Warrior. So
a little more rustic with
some of them are like, you have spear throws and you have, you know, like you'll on some obstacles, it's literally, you just pick up this 75 pound, you know, anvil or, you know, bag of sand and carry it, you know, 30 feet, do 10 burpees, pick it back up and carry it back. And so some of it's just strength stuff. And then some of it's like really cool obstacles. And because it really depends on which course your organization you run with. I always tell people the two that everybody know the most of is going to be like Spartan races and then Savage. And I always tell everybody after I run a Spartan race, my lower half hurts. And when I get done running a Savage race, my upper body hurts. Because the obstacles are more intricate in Savage race compared to Spartan race. But the guy who, Trailmaster Hammond, who runs the Spartan stuff, he's a really good trail runner. And so he sets up some very difficult trail runs. So your ankles do a lot of this in Spartan a lot. So
this is a booming industry. I mean, about 10 years ago, I think it really kind of kicked off, or the world kind of took notice. Talk about a little bit of the history.
The first time I saw it, it was Spartan race was actually the only real obstacle course racing that I knew about. And I saw it like you said, about 10 years ago. I did no cardio whatsoever for the longest time. I've only been doing obstacle course racing for the last 3 years. So when I used to see 12 miles, this obstacles, I was like, dude, who does that? Like, that's insane. I have no desire to do any of that stuff. But it's definitely evolved from Spartan to almost like 7 or 8 different organizations out there. I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean, you have, you know, like the monkey one that's down here, the dash, the mud runs, like they have all kinds of stuff like that. So they all have obstacles per se. But like if you want to really get into like the growth of it to where people have taken the obstacles further, it's like Conquer the Gauntlet and Savage Race and Bone Frog and stuff like that. Those are the ones that kind of, I think, focus more on the obstacles to make those more intricate, while the other ones have stayed the fun runs of, hey, it's come play on these floatables for a while, you know, and then we'll, you know, have some drinks and stuff like that. Because I like that, though, because I think that also opens it up to other people who would never go run 3 miles, you know, like, because these races can run from, the shortest I've ever seen them is really like 3 miles. But back then it was only 12 miles, 35 obstacles. This is what you do. And now there's so many different ones with different lengths for everybody, different ones. I've ran with my friend's kids, like they have like the kid races and stuff like that. So, you know, it's definitely evolved to like more of a, I think more of a family oriented thing, but still push yourself because it's still hard. But they now, instead of just having like open, they have elites, and now they have open. So you can do the more elite races where you have to follow the rules and you have people who watch you and you get videotaped making sure you're doing your penalties, versus the guy that runs by an obstacle and goes, I'm not doing that, and then just continues to run on his way. But he's still out there. He gets his medal and, you know, he feels happy about it.
Every man, every kid can come out and just try this out, 3 mile little mini courses, things like that, has really made it more accessible to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I've done that with my wife and my son, just taking them out there, and we ran a couple of obstacles, got a bunch of, you know, mud all over ourselves, and took a bunch of pictures, and it was awesome.
There's something about just getting extremely dirty and then just being all like, and like, you know, one of the things that I love about the kid race is, like you said, you could take it out there. At the end of that race, the same medal you had around your neck is the same medal your kid had around their neck. And so, like, I mean, I don't have children, but I got 6 nieces, 2 nephews, and, you know, things like that. So it's really neat.
Literally in the room right there, my son has hanging from our wall Spartan medals that I've earned, mud runs that he's earned. Anything that's like, you know, you did it, you competed, you earned it, they're hanging up, they're a big deal too. Yeah. So
I get that. One of my favorite photos is after the first year I did it. It was like me, you know, celebrating my 1 year of like not drinking and what it had done, you know, racing had been. So I have this photo of me and I'm sitting there and it's all the medals that I earned in 1 year. And like what OCR means to me. And like that photo, it isn't just about the medals and things like that, but each one of those was like an achievement for me for what I had for that goal for that year. But I had 42 medals like for the first year of doing it from April to the end of the year. And it was all like, yeah, I get that. Yeah. It was kind of neat, you know, because I've never really competed in things before, really, other than from when I was a child to like now. You know, like I didn't really compete during that time, like in my 20s and stuff.
Interesting story. I've done a few Spartan races. They were kind of a big part of kind of the Austin area, had a bunch of Spartan races. And I took a client of mine who's in his late 60s, and he's always been a little disenchanted with the youth culture of America, like not so hardworking and this and that.
Yeah.
And then he went up there and participated in Spartan Week with thousands and thousands and mostly young people. And he honestly looked at me and said, okay, there's hope for these, you know, younger generation. Because seeing just the, like, how bought in everybody is to this idea of just working hard and getting out there and getting dirty and putting yourself to the test, I think is a real testament to, you know, what is also going on in kind of the culture of our youth. And I mean, you and I aren't young, but it's for everybody. But it's definitely something that the youth have really kind of jumped into and gone full force with.
It's cool to see that, like, especially, you know, it is funny that your client being in his 60s and he thinks that, and, you know, I'm about to crack 40. And I always joke, and I've said I'm 40 for like the last 10 years. But like, to actually see that when you go out there to see the younger kids and really in that competing and stuff like that, I mean, like I said, I don't have kids, so I don't really see a lot of that. But my niece's sports and stuff like that, and my nephew's baseball stuff that I'd go to, there was a lot of like quitting. I would see kids throw their bats and quit. And it's neat out here. Like, there's a lot out on the obstacle course racing. While it is very competitive, it's also very like nurturing in a sense of like, I want you to do well too. We're all sucking together. So like what we're doing sucks. So let's just do this together and push each other through it. And I think that that's a really cool thing to see. And I think that does help them in other aspects of life as well. When you finish something like that, like people are like, oh, I see that person. So it's something I could obviously do. And it's like, you go out there and you do it at different levels, you know, but some people going out there and just starting something and finishing it is a huge deal. And that can help spur other things.
Yeah. So, and not to belabor the point, but I do think that with something like baseball or a sport that everybody kind of knows what the expectations are, there's pressure because, you know, the kid knows, like, I've got to hit the bat or I've got to do this and dad's watching. And you go do something that almost are no expectations, right?
Yeah.
It's just go out there, get dirty, try to finish this crazy thing. And that it's just a completion.
That's what I like.
Excitement and enthusiasm about it. And so I think that just kind of takes down some of that pressure and stress that kids go through trying to impress or trying to like live up to expectations.
It's just you. You're the only one that's out there. I mean, you're competing against other people, but I mean, really when I race out there, I compete against myself now. Like I run my race. Like when the first race I did, when I took off, like I remember my good buddy was sitting there and like, I was like some definitely not in the same type of shape that I am who took off and took off. It was my first time ever running 6 miles. So I was like, I read this book and literally the sentence that stood out with me is, I can't remember who said it, but he was like, I've never seen a race won in the first mile, but I've seen a lot of races lost in the first mile. And so, because, you know, people just come out the gate so hot and they burn out. So, like, my friend was all like, hey, man. And he's like, pointing us. I was like, I run my race. And then, like, by the third mile, in my group, in my heat, I had passed the three people I saw take off first. Now, yeah. granted, some of the other people could have gone past them, but I was like, I just passed the people at mile three because I just ran my race and stayed what I was doing. And, but yeah, that's, I think it's also, I think though, what you're doing, like you said, I have to hit this bat, I have to hit this ball. It's not as fun as I have to go play on these monkey bars over a big thing of photo water. And if I fall, I literally will have a fun photo of me falling into water and my friends were all there laughing at me, but at the same time, encouraging me to go through it.
Yeah.
So it has like those different expectations. And when you nail something, say the spear throw, like I know one guy that I've met was like, I've done 10 races and never hit the spear throw. And then I was actually there at the stadium race when he did hit the spear throw. And I was like, didn't you hit the spear throw? And he's like, did you not see me jump 36 feet into the air and scream like a madman? And I was all like, no, I did not witness that part. But I was like, I did see. I was like, hey, that's Eric. I think he just hit the spear throw. And so it's like, you know, those accomplishments are definitely a big thing. And when you miss them, it sucks because you got to do like penalties and burpees and things of that nature. Yeah. So.
Okay. So talk to us about the level that you're at right now. So you know, year one, you kind of just did everything, tried to complete as many as you can. At some point you kind of arrive at a level where, you know, you get to compete in the elite races and things like that. So talk about that elite level and what you're doing and what makes them unique and different.
Okay. So the one of the things, so I guess it all really depends on which organization you're running with. I mean, there's always, because they have what's known as the Open Series and then the Elite Series, and then they all kind of run their own rules. Like with Spartan, when you run the Elite Series, you have one attempt at an obstacle. When you fail that obstacle, you then have a penalty. There is no retry on these obstacles. It's one and done, and then you go on. I'm not the biggest fan of that. The reason being is I think anybody can do a burpee. And so when you fail that obstacle, you just do your burpee and then you go on. Like to me.
So it's, but to be clear, it's 30 burpees.
Yeah, I get that.
Chest to ground.
Now,
which people listening are like, oh my God.
And trust me, I hate burpees. Dude, my girl works at a gym called Stack, and the guy Ben, he like their workouts just have burpees in them constantly. And I'm all like, I hate those things. Like I have no desire to do that. And because I look at burpees as a punishment because that's how they are to me. So like when I'm working out and I do them, I'm like, I hate this. Like I hate these so much. Savage Race has a 100% completion. So like you do them as many times as you can. You have to finish these obstacles. If you don't, you have two bands. You know, the 100% completion band, and then I just finished the race timing band.
Yeah.
And you have to give that up. To me, that's a different thing than I didn't do a burpee, and I got to run on. When you literally look at your arm and you have to remove something from your arm and then throw it in what is literally called the bucket of failure and throw it in there and then walk on. And then you're like, you'll still get your medal for finishing the race, but you are now out of contention for placing in the race.
Yeah.
And then you have Bone Frog. They're the same way on that. And then some of the other ones will have penalties. Like, okay, so if you can't do this one on your second lap because you're doing an endurance one, you know, you're like first lap, you have to do the obstacle. Second lap, you can take a penalty because you're doing an endurance race and you're just, we're trying to make it a little easier on you.
Right.
When I first started, like I said, I did open races. I'd never ran more than, 2 miles a day of my life. And by the end of that year, I had podiumed 4 out of 5 times in different races. I decided after one of my races that I did, I was like, if I actually took this serious, I think I could, not maybe win one of these races, but I could get on that podium or get a top 5 finish. And it was the stadium race in Dallas. And basically it was an open series, but which means, like I said, you don't have to do all the obstacles. But I basically saw this like 23-year-old just like ripped kid like in line. Like you could tell he ran and like did this stuff. And I was like, I'm going to beat that kid. I was like, that's my only goal is to beat that kid. Cause you're in different heats. And so I'm like, that's the kid I'm going to beat. And so he realized that about halfway through the race that I was. And so me and him both kind of picked it up to a different level and I beat him. And so I was very proud of that moment. But at the end of that race, I got 89th out of 2,700 people. And then I finished in the top 10 of my age group. And then I was like, holy crap. Like if I really put forth, all I was doing was like, I'd been running for 3 months at that time.
Yeah.
And so I was like, if I put forth the effort, I can do it. And then I kind of changed up things. I quit lifting, you know, heavier and actually worked on cardio more and started actually running every week at Town Lake instead of just the little bit and stuff. And then got to the ones where you do the elite series, which is, like I said, now you have to do every single obstacle. You have to follow those. If you don't do them, you're penalized times. You have, you know, things like that, or you're removed from the series. But I always run opens though, too. Like when Spartan was here in Austin, I ran the age group, which is kind of the same thing for that. You have the open waves where it was just like whatever. And then to the elites, you just have different rules you have to follow. Like You actually have to stay on the trails and you have to run the actual, you have to give the obstacles an attempt, but you're also the first ones doing it. Like you're the first race of the day. And so like when you're coming through, usually you're the first race by 30 minutes. So the judges all there know it's you and you have a different identification marker. Right. I.e. like when you run Spartan, you have red headbands and then you have black headbands to let you know you're open. Bone Frog, you have this big green band on your arm that says elite.
Right.
You know,
and that's what you have to cut off.
No one wants to do that. That's one of the, and the thing is I've only done that on one obstacle.
Yeah.
One course I've ever given up my thing, and I spent 2 hours on the obstacle, and then I was like, I'm not doing this. My shoulder's thrashed. I'm in a lot of pain. I'm just going to go home. And so that was in 2020. And so after racing, it kind of opened back up because of COVID. Yeah. So.
Well, and I love that the mindset behind having to literally cut something off your arm and give it back.
Yeah,
throw it in the pot of danger of what's it called?
The pot of failure.
Yeah, the pot of failure.
Yeah.
And just the mentality behind like not wanting to do that. And so just trying to figure it out, watching other people do an obstacle, like trying to just figure, okay, what do I need to do to get up through this? Because you're a tall guy like me. You're what, 6'3"?
6'4". Take that extra inch.
We're both 6'4". So yeah, I mean, it's a different animal for you to do obstacles, especially like hanging ones. It's a lot different for your, you know, for you to do it than somebody who's a little bit shorter, a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
You're about 200 pounds, 195?
Yeah, 210 right now.
Okay.
I've been doing some strength training because for the last like 6 months, all I've been doing like 6 to 8 months is just endurance training of like back to back to back hit stuff, things like that. And so for the past 5 weeks, I've actually been back to like strength training and kind of changing things up. I basically lost 20 pounds when I started racing to see what it'd be like to run at a really light weight for me.
Yeah.
And then I've ran at 210 and I realized that I prefer to run at 210. I'm not as fast on the ground by probably about 5 seconds to 10 seconds a mile, but I'm a lot stronger when it comes to Bone Frog mile 19 on obstacle 92. Yeah, my upper body feels a lot stronger on that. Yeah. So I was like, all right, because when I just did one of those races in Florida, like I was toast, like by the end of it. The first 12 miles, I was great. I was first place until my calf messed up. Things were going really well. But even though I still did 100% completion of that race, you know, by obstacle 80, even though it's only pulling yourself up a 6 foot wall, I've now ran 19 miles. I pulled myself up that wall like 40 times and I've had to do like 25, you know, like and Bone Frog does one. It's a Navy SEALs obstacle course. So they have a small section of it where you do like 30 tricep dips. And when you do that, you call out the name of a fallen Navy SEALsman. And then you move over to a next thing and you do 30 burpees. And every burpee you do, you call out a name of a serviceman. And then you move over to another one and you do pull-ups. And every pull-up you do, they have 15 of them. You call out 15 people, service names. And all these people have passed away. And then when you do like what I've done with them, which is the Bone Frog, or which is the Trident in a day, and that's their longest race that they offer, where you do that, you go through there multiple times.
What's that called?
The Trident in a day.
Okay.
So most organizations all offer different lengths of races, like I was saying. So like with Spartan, they offer what's known as, and you know it, it's the Sprint, the Super, and the Beast, and then they have the Ultra.
Yeah.
But when you do all, if you do the Super, the Sprint, and the Beast, you earn what's known as your, you get your little metal piece with it and everything. it's not your trident. That's why I'm stuck on that from the Bone Frog.
Spartan is trifecta.
Thank you. That's the newest try. So you earn your trifecta when you go through them. With Bone Frog, they offer three different races, endurance, sprint, and they're the tier one. And then you earn basically, it's a big piece, and then you get three little pieces, and then that's your big medal at the end of it. Yeah. And then they have what's known as the Trident in a Day, which basically says you run all three of these races in one day, and we'll give you all of your medals at once, and they make it a gold one. So it's like really bright and shiny. Right. I've done that race with them twice, and then I did their endurance race with them, which the endurance race was at Austin 360 at the track.
Okay.
And basically you did a 6.2-mile loop, and then after that, you did as many 3.65-mile loops as you could possibly do. And then, so once you did your first lap, and then every other little lap after that, you got this little Bone Frog pin. I got third place in that overall. I qualified for the OCR World Championships with that. That also is a qualifying race for the Spartan National Championship races. And then literally COVID shut everything down last year. But at that race, it was... I told the guy, I was like, I want to break the record, because the record was eight. I was like, dude, I got this, dude. Like, I can like eight laps, the eight little ones. And he was like, have fun with the stairs. I didn't really understand what that. I mean, I'm at the track. What are you talking about? Well, you know, the tower, you ran up the tower every single time, came down the tower every single time. And then on one of the curves, you literally just ran up and down the bleachers for the next mile, up and down. And I was like, okay, I get what he's saying now. So, but I got my five. And then, so I got third place in that. And so that was one of the races where it's four out of five. So
that's awesome. You had this incredible start to your career. COVID hits, which kind of derails a lot of that stuff shut down. I think a couple of them went bankrupt.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I moved to get ready for racing in 2020. Like I downsized, I changed a lot of stuff because I wanted to travel a lot for racing.
Right.
And I was getting started with it. And then it was like, I got my season pass so I could join all the races all over and not have to pay ridiculous amounts of money to do that.
Sure.
And then, everything just kind of got shut down.
And we know the rest of the story. Okay. So talk about why you got into racing. Go back pre obstacle course racing, what you were kind of up to and how you got into obstacle course racing.
So yeah, that's a detailed piece, but I got no problem saying it. I quit drinking. In a nutshell, I quit drinking. But it all led up to is I did a sober October. After a pretty good party per se on the Titans versus the Eagles in 2018 at a football game, and just the next day decided I wanted to take a month off of drinking. I always lifted really heavy. I was 246 pounds, and like I was just like a bigger dude. Like I wasn't that like yourself. I wasn't like, big and in, really good shape, but I wasn't like big and fat. Like I was like the dude who you could tell put in a really good workout, but just ate kind of whatever he wanted. My diet wasn't a part of that. Well, when I decided to do Sober October, I realized like, wow, dude, like I kind of go out more at nighttime than I thought I did. And so I started doing 2 days. And so, cause I didn't really know what to do with my time at night, so I was like, if I wasn't working, I was like, what do I do? So I just go to the gym. And then I was like, man, crap, if I'm doing gyms like this, like if I'm doing putting in 2 days like this, let's do this seriously. So I reached out to a friend of mine who's a nutritionist. And then it got me on a work plan and I started doing cardio. I didn't run. I just did the arc machine up at the gym. You know what I'm saying? Like I was like that 45.
The least impacted machine.
Yeah, literally
possible.
Trying to not really do much. But in doing 2 a days, eating clean, not drinking, I started losing weight, kind of started like forming up and kind of liked the direction I was going in. So when Sober October was over, I really enjoyed where I was at. So I had a couple drinks in November, a couple drinks in December, but not really much. And then I just decided at a football game I was done drinking. I went and saw Tennessee Titans up in Nashville against the Colts at the end of that year. And, when I was done with that, I had a beer while I was there, took one sip of it and was like, I'm done with this. And then I got home. And that night, and then I had a drink of wine and was like, wow, bro, you couldn't even do it that well. And then so that's why I was like, I'm really done drinking. Well, for my birthday, that's kind of what led up to like me drinking is why I do OCR. But because January, I'm not running or doing anything. I have no desire. But February comes and I'm all like, what am I going to do for my birthday? Like my birthday has been the same thing since I was 21 years old. It's go out, have a really nice dinner and go get hammered and really not remember what I did at the end of the night. Because my dad always said to me, he's like, no matter what you've done, you go hard at it. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's, you know, when you played baseball, when you played basketball as a kid, you know, to your OCR now, to the way you lift weights, to no matter what you do. And when you drank, you go hard. And so I literally was like, I don't know what I'm going to do for my birthday. And I mean, sad to say, I was scrolling through like Instagram and it literally said, need something different? And I was like, wow, that's creepy. And then it said, why not try a Savage Race? April 13th. That's my birthday. Wow. And so I was all like, I've never done it. Sounds good. Boom. Booked that. And then that night, Willie Nelson was playing. And I've never seen Willie Nelson either. Booked that. Great birthday. So now I'm going to go run this race in Central Texas, drive all the way back, go down to White Rock, and I'm going to go watch Willie Nelson and Tyler Childers play. Nice. So I started training. I ran like 2-3 miles. I mean, dude, it was so bad. The first time, cardio me, I also remember I was a smoker. I smoked 2 packs a day for over 20 years. It's been October 15th was 4 years now I haven't smoked. Yeah, yeah. So running just really wasn't the greatest thing. My form wasn't good. I think I was at like 13 minutes a mile when I ran my first 2 miles. But yeah, when I went and ran that race, 6 miles, 25 obstacles, you know, drove out there. I almost didn't go that morning. I was having like who does, like, why am I doing this? This is dumb. My good buddy Brett, man, was like, I'll come with you. And like literally came out there and drove 2 hours out there with me to sit there and sat there and just waited for me to go run this race, which at the time, since I really wasn't a runner, took me 2 hours and 27 minutes. But my goal was just to do all of the obstacles. Like that day, mm-hmm. I didn't really have a time frame in mind because, like I said, I wasn't a runner. I was still like 214 pounds because I decided once I dropped all that weight, I put a little bit back on. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, and I just, and then I did that same course like 2 years later and did it in like an hour and 6 minutes, 100% completion and like, you know, qualified. So I was happy with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
but that's awesome. This was really just like a creepy Instagram moment that like literally popped up, and you know, you said, you know what, carpe diem, let's do it. Birthday, and then
I did it, and then when I crossed the finish line, I really enjoyed just that that sense of accomplishment. Like drinking was a major part of my life. Like I don't like it, you know. No one wants to admit that kind of stuff, but it really was. I mean, everything I did revolved around alcohol. And none of it was competitive. It's, you know, go to the bar, have this, I go throw some of this, you know, we play pool. It's nothing like actually that I've worked hard to accomplish.
Yeah.
And so once I did that, it was kind of like, I felt really bad. I hadn't done much, you know, like anything like that before. So now it's kind of like a no wasted days mentality, you know, do those things. But when I ran my second race, like my friend even said when I crossed the finish line, he's like, you look happy. I was like, yeah, dude, like this was awesome. Like it was really because I had that completion. I had, like I said, that medal that had said you did something on my, for me, it was like on my birthday, I didn't go get trashed. I got this medal. I worked hard on my birthday rather than got trashed. And so I got home that night and literally signed up for my first Spartan race, which was the next month. And then that's actually the race that made it to where OCR was. That was what I wanted to do. Like for, I was still like, oh, it was cool. I really enjoyed it. The obstacles were really neat. But like, I was in search of more than just a competitive thing. When all of your group is, you're all partying all the time, when you stop partying, people stop asking you to hang out as much. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because you're no longer party Scotty. You're not the dude who takes all the shots and parties till 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm the dude who goes to bed at like 9:30. You stop getting those invites. And then you kind of realize, you know, there's friends that still call you and do things like that. And you just kind of adjust your life to it. Yeah. So I was kind of looking more for like a group, you know, to be honest. I mean, straightforward. I mean, I had the gym stuff, but like I'm way closer now to people at the gym now than I ever was when I started doing all this.
Yeah.
And, you know, this actually helped me become more friends with people at the gym because I was training harder. People were seeing the effort I was putting in, and then that helped that. But when I was looking for a sense of community, and then at the Spartan race, that's definitely where I found it. You know, There were things there that were very different that I saw. It was like, I mean, my two big examples were I saw people carrying, it's like a military service group that runs out there, and the guy's in a wheelchair, and you're talking about going up these rocky hills, and you know, his buddy with one leg puts up that wheelchair and carries it while his two other buddies carry his friend over the back, you know, and it was things of that nature. And then all of the good job, the helping and letting people go by. But the biggest thing for me, which is where I realized where these were the type of people I wanted to be around, also because there was, like you said, they're driving, they're pushing themselves to do these physical, awesome things. But there was that community aspect was, it's a obstacle in Spartan. It's basically the inverted wall. And it's like, it's basically, it's not a wall. I mean, because it is, but it's like monkey bars. So the monkey bars, if you're looking at them going straight up, they kind of lean towards you at like a 45 degree angle. Right. So when you climb up them, you're climbing backwards and you have to work your way over them. Well, there's only three ways to really get over these things. And there's three different sections where people can go up. So, you know, they're speeding up the process. Well, this one guy is there and he's in like a, I'll never forget. He's in like a Sesame Street shirt. He's got like shoes that are definitely not made to be out on the, like, you know, he's like in Chucks or something like that. And then like, you know, but his buddy that he's with, or his two buddies that he's with, they're in shape. You can tell like they're to do stuff like that. They have stuff that, you know, you can tell that they're the ones that are out there, and this is their buddy that they kind of tagged along to make go do that. Well, his buddies climb up the thing. It's super easy. They pull him. So it's just monkey bars to them. Their friend gets up there and he gets about literally on the second bar and freezes and locks up on this thing and will not move.
You're about, if you let go, you're hitting your back against the ground. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
He's going to fall down and hurt him. So even that mat's there, but he's like locked up. He's not moving. He's got his legs up now. He's got his arms up. He's committed to holding onto these two bars and he is not moving.
Yeah.
And no one told him to hurry up and get out of the way. And this is a race. You're competing against, no one says a word to him. Well, all of a sudden, like, you could tell he's scared. And now he's, not only is he afraid being up there, you can tell he's embarrassed too that he's up there. I didn't really know what red headbands and black headbands meant at this time, because I didn't realize that red headbands were the elite groups and things like that. But I saw two red headband guys hop up on the obstacle. Yeah. One guy got on top, one guy ran up, crawled over, went on the other side. And one guy said, "Hey, we're going to help you get through this obstacle, brother." And he said, "I'm not going to touch you. Don't worry." Like, you know, because he could tell you, he's like, "I ain't going to touch you. I'm just going to tell you. But if you just trust me where you put your hand, we'll do this." The kid said, "Okay." And basically they pointed out where to put his hands and his feet through the whole thing. One of the guys was behind him, you know, putting like the brace. So he felt comfortable knowing if I fall, you're there. Never touched him. So this guy did this whole thing on his own. But he does his way to get over it. I'm like, I feel it now. Like, I get little goosebumps chills in my arm when I think about this, because this is what made it for me. He starts going over it. They help him get all the way over. He gets done. By the time he gets over, there's 40, 45 people sitting there. No one's gone up the other two now. Like, no one's doing any of this. They're all literally just stopping and watching this guy do this. When he gets done, the loudest, thunderous clap, applause for this kid. And you could tell, like, his buddies were over there giving him like the pat on the back, and you could see it in his face that it was a huge deal. Oh, it's gonna make me cry. And then so he goes off and goes like to start finishing, and then everybody gets over, and as everybody goes over, they're all patting him on the back as they pass him. And like, when I got to him, he was crying, like just bawling. Yeah. Like, and you could tell that sense of accomplishment that he had had. And then so at the end of that race, I saw him again. And, you know, and then it was just like, I mean, I didn't say anything to him, but you could just tell why he was there with that. And then people did say stuff to him, though. And that's when I realized, like, this is where I want to be. Like,
yeah, this is different.
Yeah.
It's real. It's authentic. It's different.
Yeah.
I experienced something similar in a Tough Mudder, which is a British kind of version of the Spartan race. But they're, one of the focuses of Tough Mudder is teamwork. And so there's a lot of obstacles you have to literally like support somebody, like you got to get over as a team.
Yeah.
So even if you're not running with a team, you kind of link up with other people and you roll these massive things through the water, or you slide up this, you know, this, you know, kind of ramp that's super muddy and you can't really grab on anything unless you like hold on to somebody's foot and kind of, you know, help them get up and all that. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, God, this, you can't fake this, right? This is real. Like, no. You're putting people in a situation that's, it's kind of quasi survival, right? It's our version of like going to war in a sense, like, because your instincts are really sharp. You're out in nature. It's, things are dangerous. You could fall. There's a lot of that kind of stuff. And what does humanity do in those moments? It's actually probably better. Humanity gets better in those moments because we see people like that guy, and there's a desire to kind of not do it for him. I love the part that they never touched him.
Yeah.
They just like showed him the way.
That was the big deal to me. It was like, they didn't do it for him. Like they helped him.
Yeah.
And that was like a big part, was the helping of fellow people. I mean, you see me at the gym. I talk to everybody, you know what I'm saying? Because I like that. But I also like at the races, I do the elite races and then I do opens afterwards, because it's the same way. Like, I want to help you get over that obstacle, because my very first time doing it, I was stuck at an obstacle for 35 minutes. My first race, I just wanted to finish every single obstacle.
Yeah.
So like one of them, it was called like the Twirly Bird was the name of it. But you're basically going from one thing to another thing to like these mop handle things. And I'd get to those mop handle things and I couldn't hold on to myself. I'd slip right down. And going through them, and you know, I could have just walked around, but I wouldn't. And then all of a sudden, this guy just gets up there, comes through, bam, 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 gets through it. And I get to see someone else do it. And then he was like, oh yeah, it's like this. Did you want to make sure you're up here? Because he can see I'm actually watching and trying to pay attention. He's like, yeah, dude, it's like this. And then went through. But the fact that he helped me, I was able to get right through it, finish my race. Like, I look back at that, and that's a big thing. And when I ever finished and qualified for a race, you know, and I got third place in my age group, and I met some really good people who are my buddy Mark Garza. I still talk to him all the time now. He got second place at that race, but he got through this last obstacle faster than I could, you know, and it was really neat. But the guy was all like, hey, the best way to get through this is to turn this way. For someone of your size, is to be get up there and actually do just pull yourself up there. And he's like, you're going to burn yourself with that rope all the way across your chest. And when I got home, man, I had bruises, rope burns, but I got my first third place finish, man, and I was stoked. So,
that's awesome.
But it's the camaraderie. That's what it is for me.
So what's next for you? Races are opening up. I mean, people are probably coming out in droves right now to do stuff. So what's next for you?
For me, like, I actually, I want to, in 2022, I would like to actually get my first podium in Spartan. Like I said, that's a big goal for me. The reason being is I've gotten it in Bone Frog. I've gotten it in Savage Race. You know, I've gotten it in Conquer the Gauntlet. You know, I've got them in those. Spartan's the only one that kind of sits out there, which I laugh about though, is like, now next year, I'll be in the 40 to 44 age group. So I'll be the youngest in my age group. And I joke about that. I'll be like, yeah, I'll be like, you know, the young guy out there ready to run. So that's it. But I have decided that I'm going to, next year, I'm going to actually do a triathlon. This is open up. While I've done obstacle course racing, April will be 3 years. I love it and I'll never stop doing it. That's like my favorite thing. But it's opened up like meeting people at races. I mean, I've met a lot of people that I still talk to, like this guy Norris. I mean, I just talked to him online and stuff like that. But I met him up in the Aspen race that I did. And he does like these like 30, 40 mile races. He's like that guy, you know, he's like, oh yeah, I just did this 50 mile race this weekend and I'm going to go do this. And, you know, Innovate sends me shoes and things like that. But it's like watching people do things like that, it's like, I want to try it, you know. But like my thing is, I'm gonna want to do, I know exactly how my brain works. It's like, I'll do a triathlon and be like, cool, Ironman, like, let's do that now. Like, you know, let's do the thing that seems the most difficult.
Like,
so
like your dad said, whatever you do, you go all in.
That's my favorite thing. Yeah, I go as hard as I possibly can on that. So that's what, so I definitely want to do that, but just definitely more obstacle course racing. Like, that's my goal, is just to get better at it. I finally think I figured out a better training regimen, better diet for this kind of stuff. People laugh at me, but like, I never wanted to like invest the money on like, not that because I didn't want to invest the money on it, but like pacers and things like that. And like, you know,
technology really figure in a sense. Out the training. Yeah.
Yeah. But like when I'd run, I'd always just finish the run and be like, cool. That was like, you know, I'd have my phone in my side and my Strava said that was a 9-minute and 15-second run. Now, like this past year, I've gotten things that like help me with my gaits and, you know, check out speed. And I'm actually trying to figure things out like that. And now I go out and it's like, I'm going to run 8:45 for 6 miles. Like, I'm going to maintain this pace. And since I've done that, like I said, my last race up until I busted my calf, I was a mile and a half ahead of everybody in first place on a 20-mile race. And so I feel like next year is going to be really good, where I think I'll pull in some more. It's not about, you know, per se, but, you know, winning the most, but kind of is though. Yeah. I'm okay. competitive when it comes to that stuff.
I mean, I think it's, you gotta find positive ways to be competitive, you know, whether you're racing against yourself, racing against a goal, or just going for the first place, you know, going for that. Because that prize and getting that honor of going to some higher level race that you're invited to because you got that
that's the first place. I was so stoked because the Spartan stuff was in Greece for 2020.
Yeah,
I was going. Yeah. There was no, once I got that email that said, "Hey, you qualified for the Spartan Trifecta World Championships."
Yeah.
I was like, "Psh, I'm on my way, son." And then it was like, "No, you're not.
No,
you're not." And then, like, you know, like I qualified for the OCR World Championships this year, but I was supposed to go to that this year, and it was in September. But I was helping my company out up in Salt Lake City, so I wasn't able to make it. So,
well, what I loved in your story, and it, you know, you started just like, I need to do something. I need to do something that's not me drinking. It's my birthday. I'm just going to sign up. It's like a lot of people do that with a 5K or any kind of physical challenge that they just feel like, you know what? I've got to put this thing out there and just do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm just going to kind of figure it out. And then all of you kind of got the bug, and then you did the Spartan race. And then that was when like something clicked. You saw your people. Like,
yeah.
You realized like, these are the people I want to be like, I want to be as good as, or I want to learn from. And I think that's such a cool part of the journey of physical fitness, being an athlete. You know, you've kind of gone down the road of obstacle course racing, and this, and which is unique because I think it's a very extreme road in many levels. But it also, as you get further into it, you start realizing like, what about this? What about that? How can I tweak this? And I think that's such an exciting thing about being an athlete. And I'm right with you. It's like, I'm always looking for like, what's that new thing that I can do that's going to raise my training or my ability to compete at a higher level. And that's just the journey of kind of physical, whether you're officially an athlete or just somebody into fitness.
Yeah.
That's so important. Talk about that journey for yourself and just what you've realized right now.
It's funny. I'm 39 and about to be 40, and I feel like I'm in one of the best shapes I've ever been in my entire life. And it's because I actually started paying attention to. So before, when I'd work out, it was always just to work out, to do something to work out. Like you said, you're either an athlete or you're just a person who does that stuff. Once I ran my first obstacle course race, and I'd gotten into pretty good shape before that, I was like, wow, I have a purpose. Like, I no longer am just coming to the gym to lift weights for 45 minutes so my arms look good when I go to the bar or when I go do this. Like, after my first race, I was like, my forearms hurt, my back hurts, my hamstrings hurt, and my ankles hurt. So these are all areas I need to focus on now so I can get better on that. And once I started doing that, then it was all like, wow, look at the way this person runs. And then, so like, I'm the person, when I run, I watch everybody run. Everybody's got and that's one of the things I love about running now, is everybody has a different gait. Everybody has a different stride. I mean, you have the runners that everyone laughs at, the T-Rex arm guys that run, you know, but that's like probably the best way to run, because you're exerting the least amount of energy while you run. Right. So that's the thing. Like, I'm real quick to ask people now, like, what are you doing? Like, at the gym, I watch everybody work out. If I see an exercise I feel that could be good for me, I learn it. I ask questions about it. And that's where my journey statement is. I actually ask questions and learn about proper technique. And then I learned it's not just about lifting weights. It's diet. It's sleep. I used to go to bed at 12:30. Now it's like 9:30. People will text me, and I'm all like, dude, why are you texting me so late? Or like, when I message them back at 5:30 in the morning, because I've already, you know, I was already asleep. So.
Yeah. Well, okay. Talked about mindset. So let's say it's a Spartan 2022 race day. You're at the facility or wherever you're going to race. Like, what are you thinking? What are you doing? What's your process getting ready for that race?
It's funny, because you would see me, like I said, at the gym or anywhere else. I'm a very social, like, I talk to everybody. Before a first race, like, I don't really like to talk to really anybody. When I go to races with people, it's a different dynamic, because when it's by myself, it's straight thrash metal in the entire car, like right up getting up there. I put my headphones in, and then like my headphones are in my head until I check my bag, until I get in. Mm-hmm. I'm real big into music as far as like getting ready for racing. But yeah, my mindset, it's funny, it evolves. Because at first it's like, I just want to finish this race. I just want to run a clean race. I want to have a good time. I want to do that. To where now it's all like, I look at my age group and I'm all like, okay, I should be able to get past that person in mile three. And it's crazy because you notice things. Like, you can tell who are the runners out there doing it and who are the, like, I'm not going to lie, most of the people that look, if they do look like myself more, like on a muscular physique build, you know, I don't really worry too much about them because I'm like, I'm more worried about the runners. I may be behind you on this aspect, but I know I'll beat you in this aspect. Right. And so, like, my mindset, no matter what, is even whether it's that first mile or it's that 10th mile or the 13th or even the 19th, or even if I'm just running like a 4 mile race, so, you know, so on that second one, it's always like, keep your pace, keep your race, you know, like, because if you maintain your own pace, you'll maintain that race. And so, like, Robert Killian, who's like one of the more well-known, you know, Spartan racers, he's the trifecta world champion. His mindset, like, he always, like, my before he goes, from what I've seen, is like, he has a pace in mind of what he wants to run when he goes. And, like, I think that's kind of like my big thing is I stay focused, I stay driven, stay the pace, stay the race, and then, like, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
So it's, I just don't like to lose. So,
which is important.
Yeah.
You know, to have that mindset. Yeah. I think too, you state a point that, like, you got to run your race. You got to know, because if you start chasing, oh, well, that guy's going to be fast, so I'm going to come out fast just like him.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your pace is way off what you can normally do. You're gonna bonk out, you know,
Georgia 2020
seven miles in or whatever. Yeah, you gotta be thinking about that kind of stuff. And that comes with having done so many races and just really knowing how you're gonna be most effective.
For me, when I first started, it was an excitement level. Like, and that's, I think, the most thing I've learned to control is I'm still super excited about racing. Like, that doesn't ever go away.
Yeah.
But I'm able to control it better at the beginning of the races. Like I said, other than Georgia 2020, which was this one race, because it'd been closed for 6 months. It was my first race back open. And I told everybody, I was so gassed after a mile and a half because, like, I was so excited to race. I let all of that. I didn't stay in my normal mindset of just run your race, do your thing. Right. And then by the time it's over, and every race now, I want to get faster. So that's my mindset of get faster every race. So if this pace now is, you know, run 9:04, I know it's only 2 seconds, but run 9:02 next time. Like, well, you did really well at 9:04, but at 9:02, that's closer to 8:58, which is now closer to 8:45, which will eventually get closer to 7:45.
Yeah.
And these are all, like, the times I'm trying to run with obstacles included.
Right.
You know, so that's like about an 8 minute pace with obstacles included.
So Georgia 2020, like, sounds like kind of a failure in a sense of, like, you just got too hyped up, too
so
worked
bummed.
Up. So what did you learn? What was the most important lesson you learned from that failure that helping you right now prepare for the next one?
Is to, like I said, not really focus on what other people are doing. That was always a big issue with me, I think, in life in general, you know, is being more focused on what everybody else was doing than myself. And even in racing, when I was more focused on, like, oh, well, this person's doing this and this person's doing that, rather than focusing on my own workout regimen and my own factors. And then, like I said, yeah, this person may have passed me right now, but, like, let's, like when you go running at Town Lake, let's say you're running a 7 minute and 15 second pace and you're on, like, mile five and you've maintained that, you know, and then some dude just comes blowing by you super fast and then hits that corner and he's gone. Dude, he could have literally just started.
Yeah.
Like, you have no idea,
right.
But you'll see him going. And then I would end up catching myself trying to pace up and catch up and then I'd gas out. And so what I learned from that race was, like, once again, like, you can't focus on those things. All you can do is really focus on yourself. And that applies to me kind of in life now, really. I keep my head down and I do my thing. And that's what helps me with the racing is, like, because when you blow out a gate a mile and a half and you've got 5 miles left of, you know, very humid up and down hills and you've got to do some of the harder obstacles that you've ever done because, hey, we're shut down for 6 months. We're going to come up with some pretty cool obstacles here. I was at the end of it. I was like, it was horrible. I had a great time when I finished because it was like I still finished the race. But, like, when I got my timing and stuff like that, it was like, dude, I knew it. I was so gassed after the first mile because I got excited by all the people that were in the field, mm-hmm. you know, because, like I said, it was one of the first races open. So you're talking about all the elite teams from Spartan, from Conquer the Gauntlet, from Savage, from Tough Mudder, all those elite teams showed up to this race, you know? And then, so the excitement of everybody else here is taking off so fast because these are elite runners, you know? And it was like, boom, I just came out the gate so hot. Cause I wanted to, you know, and it's funny cause I have a photo of that. like someone took a photo of all the runners coming out from the thing. And one, it's very funny. You can see me. I'm literally like a foot and a half taller than everybody else as they're running. And my body frame is totally different. Yeah. But you can tell my girl and my friends are all like, dude, look at you. You're just like all excited. And I was like, yeah, there wasn't like my normal face. Yeah. If you see me
not
come out
of any other. Not the stoic Scotty, but yeah. Like the school kid Scotty.
That's literally what it was like. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Because I got so involved with everything else as far as that I can't control in a race of who I was racing against and who, like, how long it had been. Had they trained as hard as I did during the 6 months, you know, were they putting in the miles I did, to where I let all of that stuff go. And then when I ran my next race, it was so much cleaner and so much better because I was like, just do you. Just run your pace. Just do you and you'll be all right.
Mindset lesson for the podcast. Just do you.
Yeah.
Your pace, your race. Yeah. In the end, looking back, though, you know, the fact that that happened in 2020 at all, it's kind of a celebration. Whatever place you got, whatever, however you ran that race, like, there was a communal celebration of just like, you know, that gun goes off and you just start running with all these people, kind of like celebrating life in a sense. So you can't really like hate yourself too much.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh my gosh, it's actually happening.
Because I didn't know if it was ever going to happen again. Yeah. You know, because I mean, no one knew what was going to happen during that time. And so, yeah, the first time the, you know, it's a totally different way everyone's lined up. You know, you're in a gate different. So it was totally different environment. Like you were out of your normal element. But man, as soon as those smoke bombs came thrown out, because that's how they like to do their starts. They throw smoke bombs down, and then you run through the start through it. It's
very dramatic.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Everyone has their thing. Yeah. It was just really neat. Like, you know, so excited. And like, you know, the camaraderie at the beginning of those races, like for the Savage race, like everybody gets in a big circle. You know, like everyone puts their arms around each other, and then like there's a sway motion, and there's like that hoo-ah type thing. Yeah. And it's kind of funny. Because when you do the ones at Spartan, like they get you all amped up. It's like everybody's like, hoorah. But in the Savage ones, man, people get in because I think it's you feel that because you're touching everybody that energy and that sway. Like, it just,
it's a little more tribal.
Yeah, exactly. And then they threw the smoke bombs and I ran way too fast and I was gassed after like a mile and a half.
So if somebody's listening and they've never done a race at all or obstacle course race, is there would you ever recommend just like Googling
or pull-ups.
Looking up?
Do a lot of pull-ups.
Do a lot of pull-ups.
Do a lot of pull-ups
and run. All right, so train pull-ups and probably go run some.
Yeah, run some.
Stop smoking.
That might be an important factor, but lots of pull-ups. That's basically.
And just sign up. I mean, I've done several and I love them. And I, you know, some of them I just kind of like had a good time doing them. Others I've really kind of pushed myself and just kind of see what I could do. And but I just think they're amazing opportunities for you, your family, or just yourself individually to push yourself to do something really unique and special.
You see a lot of families out there a lot. You see the parents with their three kids, you know, out there doing stuff, and you see the kids having a good time. And we showed this one guy who was trying to get through this obstacle and he had his kids and he was really confused. And the first time I did it, I was like, man, how do you get through this thing? But like now it's kind of simple. And so I just explained it to him. I was like, dude, it works like this. And once I did, he did it. And at the end of the race, like he came up and he was all like, thanks, man. He's like, my kid thought it was pretty cool. I was able to get through that. And like my girl, you know, she was like, all right, you told him that stuff. Like you helped him get through that. And like I said, that's what to me it's all about. It's just have fun, go out there and, you know.
Well, I love that you're serious about the sport of elite racing, but you're also like, you embrace kind of the culture of what it is in the open races where everyone's just trying to get through it or at the elite level. And that's special.
I think people shouldn't forget that. I think that in like, regardless of whatever it is you're doing, you know, whether it is the super hardcore competitive nature that takes you out there, like everybody else out there is doing the same thing you're doing. Yeah. Everybody's going through the same suck you're going through. So, you know, help somebody out during that. Like, I still want to beat you in this race, but I want to see you finish it too. It's a big thing. And the racing is definitely that. Everybody should just try it at least once.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. So. All right, man. Well, thank you so much for your time.
No, of course.
Just a shout out to you. We both work out at Lifetime Fitness, which is actually where Michael Griffin works out. And a lot of the elite athletes over there are doing pretty cool stuff. So Scotty and I see each other all the time at the gym. He works out as much as I do. And we're there almost at the same time of the day. And
every day in the morning.
Always doing our thing. So good luck, man. The 2022, I just can't wait to kind of follow your journey. And we'll put some stuff on the show notes. Your Instagram account, things like that, so people can see the picture of all your medals. I saw that one. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Like I said, if you read the stuff, that's my 1 year of sobriety and what, like, it helps me talk about how OCR helped me stay with that.
That's a cool post.
So, awesome. It's a big deal.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you, brother.
That was Scotty talking about obstacle course racing. I loved his energy and I loved his story about how he kind of came about obstacle course racing and how he's truly made it something that he strives to be absolutely the best in. I highly recommend if you've never done an obstacle course race, you check it out this year, 2022. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of them happening throughout the country. So if you're listening to this and you've never tried one, highly recommend it. Spartan Race, Tough Mudder, Savage Race, there's a lot of them out there. There's always beginner level races, and they even have kids races that are like 1 kilometer with obstacles. So if you got a young kid who wants to try it out, highly recommend that too. All right, that's it for this episode. Hey, one last thing. You know that Mantra Labs is a sponsor of ours. I just wanted to give them a shout out. As Christmas time comes around, you definitely want to consider looking for healthy stocking stuffers or presents you can get people. Why not give them Mantra Labs? Use my promo code MindsetForge when you check out. You're going to get 25% off, and you can get Hydrate, Go, Rest, Rise, any of their great supplements. It's all plant-based. It's high-quality stuff. It's guaranteed to help that person be a little healthier. And it's a great stocking stuffer. So consider that. It's gomantralabs.com. Use my promo code MindsetForge, all one word, to get that 25% off. Thanks again for listening to the Mindset Forge podcast.